90.3 KNBA, keeping you in tune with our community, and we're having a lot of fun this summer. Anchorage, the first 100 years, 10 decades, 10 plays, and wow, I can hardly believe we're on decade number 9 this week. The plays run Wednesday through Mondays at Cyrano's, all stage time, 7 p.m., except for the Sunday matinee at 3. Hopefully I've got that right, and I'm going to introduce some very special guests this morning. The curator of this week's installment, 1995 to 2005, John McKay. John, good morning.
Morning, Danny.
Welcome to the program.
Thanks.
And director, Gabriel Barnett. Good morning.
Hi.
Okay, so when we think of the decade 95 to 2005, the first thing that comes into my mind is Y2K and the big panic that we all had, that nothing really happened. But it was a time of really of shifting and shuffling attitudes and shifting of some of the real paradigms and the rubrics for how we lived and how we worked in Anchorage. Give us a little back, John, just in talking with you briefly before going on there, you seem like quite a historian with just a volume of knowledge about this particular area, 95 to 2005. If you had to characterize that 10-year span, what would you say?
Well, I had one advantage in writing this one. I was alive then, so as opposed to some of the earlier plays. So I think of this, I kind of approached it as what makes Anchorage a community? And to me, it's the people. And also, having lived here a long time, and you know, those of us who live here, you're in a place for a long time, and you walk around the streets, you see people, and you kind of know the stories of that place the way it was before, the people and their lives, you know, what their kids were doing or what they're off to. So that's kind of the idea of the play, is that we're looking at people. This is a decade unlike the 20s or the 30s, where you're gonna see characters in the play that you also probably see in the grocery store or on the bike trail.
Is that scary for you, putting it together?
Yes.
Okay. it would freak the heck out of me.
Well, yeah, especially because we decided, you know, it's summer in Alaska and it's gorgeous out, and, you know, you might be tempted to just have something a little more lighthearted, which often is the way for theater in the summer, but we decided to tackle some interesting issues where people were passionate about some social issues and things. So that since people were arguing in the first place, I'm sure they won't stop arguing about these things, and that does make it a little scarier. But we have a couple scenes of, for example, there was a big dispute or big controversy out on UAA campus where a local poet and actor named Diane Benson was in a dialogue with her poetry professor, Linda McCarrison, and we deal with that a little bit about issues of cultural identity and sensitivity and free speech issues.
Nessa, does somebody actually play Diane?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to having, Diane play Elizabeth Horatrovich or something.
Yeah, well, we invited Diane to play Diane, and Diane was not available to play herself this summer, but we have Nock Dummick, who is playing Diane, and you mentioned Elizabeth Horatrovich. There's actually a flash, but well, it's not a flashback. During that decade was the decade that Diane also made that film and staged that play, and so there's a little reference to a little restaging of that Elizabeth Horatrovich play, and so Nock is playing Diane, playing Elizabeth Horatrovich.
Wow.
And I think that's one of the really interesting things about this particular play is... How would I say it? We learned in the course of rehearsing that Nock was in the film with Diane, and she's a child. So some of the actors were children during the decade. Some of the actors were adults. All of us working on it, we have different memories, and there's some cast members who hadn't moved to Anchorage yet. So
I feel like singing Kumbaya.
that comes in the second act.
but it's really interesting. We have relationship to the events that happened, and we may have different relationships to the events that happened, and we know the people. So that to me has been really interesting.
It's beautiful the way that's all woven together.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I'm curious about: these plays are put together really, really quickly, and they're yeah. Okay. and they're all read on stage, but they all take different formats. I mean, from a game show to humor, lots of different ways of presenting these things. My understanding is that I don't want to bum anybody out, but that this presentation is maybe darker than some of the others.
I wouldn't call it. Well, it's probably darker, but that to me.
Maybe just more serious. I wouldn't call it dark. I mean, we just deal with issues.
So. I would say it's bolder, actually, in that we look at issues, and I think John was brave in addressing some aspects of Anchorage history that we might not be proud of.
I mean, this isn't the Chamber of Commerce history of Anchorage,
okay.
But that's not to say that a lot of people in the Chamber of Commerce didn't contribute to it and wouldn't enjoy it. I'm just saying it's not the. So we tried the second act. We were just talking about some things in the first act. Also deals with the mayor at the time, George Wirtz, taking down the gay pride exhibit at the Lusac Library. And in fact, I noticed that one of the people who was a character in that event was sitting in the front row last night. So, we addressed some of the issues that people were passionate about. Of course, that's the whole idea of the Equal Rights Ordinance and everything, that was back in the 70s and 2000, and I don't know if it has any relevance today, but actually there are a few things that resonate today that we haven't quite worked all the way through, and so that's one of the things that we see about the play, too, is that there are things, it's interesting to get a historical perspective about the things that we actually are still talking about today, having come up 15 years ago and 25 years ago.
And when you consider the context of Anchorage in 2015, I mean, we all know about cultural lag and exponential technological change, but again, the changes in attitudes that occurred during this 10-year span are just explosive, I mean, astronomical. One more, does the Y2K issue that we were all freaking out about, does that come into play?
It gets
anywhere?
A couple lines.
I think you summarized it. Well, let's just say that the playwright agrees with your assessment of it.
Yeah, but we won't give away the line.
The huge event that wasn't.
Yeah, we won't give away the line, but that does feature. I think the other reason why I don't feel like dark is the right word, but I think the other thing that John does in this play is acknowledge loss. A lot of people pass away in the course of this decade. I'm sure people pass away in every decade, but there's
about,
a bunch
talk
of...
Talk about the cemetery part.
Yeah, a lot of it happens in the cemetery. There are a lot of funerals, but as I said in my notes, it doesn't make it a tragedy. I think it's more about reckoning with the fact that people are here and that people are gone, and then we still have a relationship with people after they're gone.
And it's an opportunity to celebrate these lives think what we draw about that as far as our community. So it's really about community more than loss, and what makes a community and what the values are that we take from the people that we've lived with.
Mm-hmm. And I get what I get. It's one of the ways that I think the play brings together the public sphere, where we're thinking, these figures in history and these events in history, and then also the personal, where there was someone we had a relationship with, and now they're gone, and now they've become history. But so it's our memory, and it's also the stuff that was in the newspapers. So really the public and the personal coming together, I think, around the ephemerality of a life. But then we still, those of us who are still here, remember those people.
And if you want to find out more, you're going to have to go to Cyrano's, because that's about all the time we have. So Cyrano's is Anchorage, 10 decades, 10 plays, the first 100 years of Anchorage. This, my friends, is going to be a good one, 1995 to 2005. John, we've got to, if there's anything we missed, I got about 10 seconds for you to wrap up.
I think you did a great job summarizing it. I think there's a line in the play that says, if all history is, if all politics is local, isn't all history personal? And I think this is a chance for all of us to experience. If you weren't old enough to experience the first time, you get to sit next to some Anchorage relics and see it again.
If it's not a rerun for you, it's first run. So yeah. Fantastic.
And I just want to plug the cast. I was so lucky to work with this group of actors.
That's
really,
amazing.
Really lucky. So even if you don't care about history, come see these actors.
Linda Benson, Kelly Williams, Nate Benson,
Nat Domek, Eric...
Charlie Cardwell, Eric Robertson.
Nava Saracino.
Nava Saracino. It is amazing. It's a great cast.
Fantastic. And we got to one more decade we're going to be talking about next week, 95 to 2005. John McKay and Gabriel Barnett, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Morning Line. And if you or your organization has information you'd like to share with our community, you can reach us by email. It's feedback@kmba.org. The fax is 793-3536, or stop on by and say hi. We're in the Natuch Nonprofit Center at 3600 San Geronimo Drive. Till tomorrow, have yourself a great day. Be safe and hug the kids.
Yalida.
Doyinta.
Jamai. Goyanani.
You're listening to KNBA Anchorage 90.3 FM.